Good morning and welcome to Our American Heritage. I am Arch Hunter, the host of the program. Our American Heritage, a program where we explore in depth the American experience from its beginning to the present. And today we want to welcome back a longtime guest, a longtime friend, and a good friend, Lydia Nuttall. Lydia, welcome back to the program and thank you for coming.
Hey, thank you, Arch, and hello to everyone. It's great to be back.
And Lydia is from Utah, so we're welcoming the western part of our country with Lydia. So, Lydia, would you introduce yourself, your background? Lydia is an author. How you came to write Forgotten American Stories and how you are, what you're currently doing, please.
Okay. I'm going to start with the last question first, and that is, what am I doing? And I just finished writing a bunch of family-friendly dinner time lessons, if you will, that you can do with your kids, your grandkids at the dinner table. Takes about 15, 20 minutes. And today we're going to be talking about one of them. And the title is, or the theme is, what is so great about America? And wouldn't that be amazing, Arch, to ask that to our kids these days and hear what they have to say? So my background is this. I am a mom of two. My last child just graduated. And so I'm a brand new empty nester. But when they were in school, I was really concerned about what was happening in our country. It was an election year. I didn't know who to vote for. And I thought, well, maybe things are just so up in the air and weird in our country, like falling apart at the seams every which way to me. Shouldn't there be a standard by which we judge our candidates? And I thought, well, yeah, it's the United States Constitution. It's the law of the land, the supreme law of the land. We are a country that's ruled by laws, not by whoever's in charge wants to do. So I started studying the Constitution, and it's not that big, you guys. It's like you can get these pocket versions that you can read, and there's so many resources out there to help you understand and apply it. And I went through all my textbooks that are in my school district that my kids were learning back then that had anything to do with American history. And except for the one textbook, none of them were teaching our kids from our founding documents. It was all based on what the law has become now, rather than what the standard is for our laws, which is our United States Constitution. So I thought, well, no wonder why things are just screwwampus. It's because we're not teaching our kids what our standards are when it comes to rule of law regarding our Republican form of government, our democracy. Long story short, because you know me, Arch, sometimes long-winded on answers, but I thought, you know what? There is no resource for us to use here in our Utah school public education system that teaches in a fun, engaging way that would even be family-friendly, our United States Constitution, especially the stories that lead up to why do we have our United States Constitution? What's that all about? How did we get our Declaration of Independence? Why did we even need a new form of government? And so, with that in mind, I created 12 stories that help our kids appreciate our nation, our country, our founding, our founders, and what led up to the creation of our United States Constitution. They're one-pagers. They have huge pictures, come with questions, answers, vocabulary, geography, you name it. I worked with my Utah State Board of Education on this to make it the best so teachers could use it as well. And I sold out all 2,500 copies and reprinted 3,000 more last year. No, so that's where I'm at. And then I got hired to write some curriculum to make it so that it's dinner time discussion for families to use and lessons. I call them chapters because I kind of wanted to make it, I don't know, if you say, kids, let's gather at the dinner table and not just eat, but we're going to have a lesson. They're like rolling their eyeballs, wanting to die. So if we call it, let's just discuss a chapter. Let's just discuss a chapter. So this is chapter one. Da, 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 da.
Well, Lydia, I have some questions too. If you, your educational background is not American history. Am I correct in that assumption?
No, I have a bachelor's in interior design, folks. Okay. So what the heck is an interior design major doing writing a curriculum on civic and character education with early American history? It's because I believe in America, if you have a passion to do anything, you can do anything because we are supposed to have the liberty to do anything as long as it doesn't take away your rights or my rights and encroach on your freedoms and mine, then sky's the limit. So I did
So your background is not in American history. So you
it
came
is now.
To this. It is now. So you
more
came
than
to,
interior design.
you came to this place where you really wanted to begin to do some research to write some curriculum. What were some of the things that you did to become an historian in that word? Because you are an historian. Which I hope you would agree with that, because on
Isn't
some level,
amazing.
What were some of the things you did to accumulate this information as you were developing your own skill and talent as an author to become an historian?
Ooh, that's a good question. Now, if you had told me back in 2011 when I started this whole thing that I would be a historian, in 2024, I'd laugh. But here's the thing, everyone, I had questions. Things were not making sense. Things I was hearing on the media, et cetera, seeing real life in my own hometown, et cetera, in my state, things just weren't adding up. Who do you trust? Who do you believe? So I had this brilliant idea. Why don't I go to sources that I know are teaching from primary source documentation, like the National Center for Constitutional Studies. Oh my goodness, they have a plethora of reading material there that is good and engaging. And the first book I read was The 5,000 Year Leap by Cleon Skousen. That broke down principles of liberty. Did you know we have 28 principles of liberty, and I'm sure there are more, but this author broke down why our form of government produced liberty for all. The greatest amount of liberty for all and justice for all is because of these 28 principles. And so, and then each chapter talks about each one. And it was written in layman's terms. Like anyone, if you can read words, could do it. So it started there. And once you realize, everyone, how much you don't know, you have a tendency to realize you really want more and more and more. And so here we are. I've read so much documentation, and also it brings you in touch with others, like other historians, other like-minded people who are also on this quest for truth. And then you rub shoulders with them, you compare notes, your knowledge, their knowledge, and sometimes it doesn't match, but then you discuss further and you realize, oh my gosh, that's because this person had one more extra piece of the puzzle than I had, and now I can see why they think this or that or whatever. So it's been a fascinating journey, Arch, and it's really helped me love our country and those that sacrificed everything, everybody, so that you and I could live in liberty today. And that's a gift.
It is a tremendous gift, Lydia. And how did you come to the place or point where you learned how to write these lessons and to make them informational, to the extent of putting enough in there, just enough to, get students and adults to hook to want to do the next one. And I'm asking that because I did curriculum for many years, and it was the most painful thing for me. A lot of people love it.
Yeah,
a lot of people loved it. And I said, no. So how did you, develop that skill of coming up to the point with not only with your book, but now these lessons that you have developed for this organization?
Chapters.
I'm sorry, chapters. Sorry.
So the book that Arch is referring to is called Forgotten American Stories, Celebrating America's Constitution. It's over 200 pages long. It's spiral bound so that you can show your kids the picture on one side while you read the one page story or information on the other side. And so what got me doing that was, honestly, the best thing is when you have received a witness for yourself of truth and you see what's going on, how others are believing things that are just not true, especially about our country. Then it's like you just want, especially when it deals with kids, I want kids to know truth. And then they have a way to determine with that, oh, okay, now I've listened to this person or that person or watched this movie or heard this radio show or this podcast or whatever. And you know what? I can detect the errors in it. I can detect truth from error. And that is a very important skill I believe our children really need, especially in this day and age. And so once I had that passion for truth, then the quest began, well, how do I present this, these truths, these awesome stories, true stories of our American heritage, our America's founding, et cetera, and our documents. How do I present this in a way that's family friendly? And that was just, honestly, you guys, it was prayer. I'm a praying person. And I just said, God, I need help. How do I do this? And he led me every step of the way. I have to give him the honor and the glory, because that's that's who helped me develop and find these people to help me. You know, a woman that knew Photoshop, someone else who was a graphic designer, someone else who knew how to put a barcode on the back. Like, how do you do that? Or get an ISBN number or to get endorsements, et cetera. Who can I? Anyway, that's how I got that book. And now for this, this project that I was given by, a nonprofit called United We Pledge, and they're based in St. George, Utah. They're building Liberty Village here in Utah, which is a 40-acre campus where they're going to be bringing George Washington's Mount Vernon, Thomas Jefferson's Monticello, the Green Dragon Tavern, where the Sons of Liberty first met, and they will be reconstructing those buildings over here in the West so that our children here can have what you have over there in Philadelphia and, you know, other places in the East Coast that are pivotal for our founding. And so they gave me the mission of, can you write these 15, 20-minute stories? You can call them lessons, but like I said, kids, their eyes are going to glaze over if you say, hey, everyone, let's gather around the dinner table. Yeah. Let's have a lesson, right? Let's do another chapter. And so I had a great coach who was a professional who wrote curriculum here in Utah, and he coached me how to become an even better writer, and especially better at asking questions that are conducive to discussion, because we don't want to just ask yes, no questions of our kids, like, how is your day today? Or no. Okay. There's how is your day today? And then there's, did you have a good day today? You know, and then you get the, no, or whatever. Just, you know, how do you ask questions to get meaningful discussion at the dinner table, so you can have connection with your kids? That's what we're needing as families, connection with our kids.
Lydia, let me make a segue, if I may, with you.
Absolutely.
Here's a question for you. Let's get into the nitty gritty of your content. When you began to study for yourself, not only to write your book, but to write these chapters, do you remember what was one of the first things that you found that was true that you didn't believe, you didn't understand before, to be able to impact you, to put it in the book or put it in these chapters?
Oh, I love it. This is a great question. Okay, everyone. It was, I had a belief, and I don't even know where I got it from. It's like in the air or something, that Thomas Jefferson was an atheist or a deist, meaning he had no belief in a higher power, call him what you may, and that he, well, there's other things. I don't know if we want to go there here, but, you know, he had fathered children from one of his slaves, was another one that, according to my research, that he was, the big thing is that he's a hypocrite. Because he writes a Declaration of Independence and says, all men are created equal, and they all have life, liberty, and the right to pursue happiness, except for, I own slaves, and I'm not going to give that to them. I'm not going to give those rights to them, because why? You know, they're not human. Well, we know African Americans are human. Obviously, they are still children of God. Declaration should cover everybody, no matter what your race is, your skin color, your beliefs, your political affiliation, etc. And so that makes, to me, what I found put everything together, and I'm like, oh, Thomas Jefferson is not who I was taught he was. That was pretty pivotal for me, even in the very beginning.
And you know, Lydia, which we fight this a lot. We have these misconceptions misconceptions oftentimes, and as we begin to study and read and research, we come to a totally different conclusion oftentimes.
And it's beautiful. Do you have those aha experiences? Like, oh, this makes total sense.
Go
on.
And we as historians, most people don't understand that. Lydia, I had a young man, a man a couple of days ago, asked me what I was doing this summer, what I was teaching. And I told him what I was teaching. And he said to me very nicely, well, you don't really need to do any research on that because you know all that stuff. And they don't have the comprehension of, we don't know all that stuff. It's a constant study, you know? And so that's what, when you're beginning to study these things, and Thomas Jefferson is somebody totally different than what you thought, it radically changes an idea to spur us on and motivate us to even get more truth. So
true. And the best thing, and that's what shifted me about Thomas Jefferson, was reading what he actually wrote. I think he wrote over 4,000 letters are preserved somewhere in the archives. And when you read his actual letters to his friends and other, you know, religious organizations who wrote him questions, etc., when you hear his actual words and when you read what other people wrote who knew him and what they wrote about him, their experiences with him, oh my gosh, my daughter calls me a Thomas Jefferson girlfriend. I just fell in love with Thomas Jefferson because he was just so different of a man than what he has been portrayed throughout history. And that's what fuels my fire even more to, okay, what else do I believe that's not true? Right.
Well, with these chapters that you're writing, the first one to celebrate the American story, tie that into what these chapters are doing with understanding the Constitution. As you said, you were reading that and studying that. How do you correlate those to the Constitution and the celebrating the American story?
Well, what's amazing is we have so much to celebrate about America. And in this day and age, for some reason, our youth, what's being promoted is a story of shame about America. You should be ashamed to be American because, and it's all about, sorry, everyone, but reality, it's all about slaves. You know, this country became great because you built it upon the backs of slaves, or you stole it from others, or extortion. I mean, it's just, you know, all this finger pointing and the whole narrative of the American story brings up all the nitty gritty, the things that are true. We can't negate the fact that, yes, we had slaves here in America, but they were everywhere around the world. From even before America was founded, slavery existed, or some kind of involuntary servitude, serfdom, indentured servitude, etc. Men treating other men horribly. That's just been throughout human history. And I can't remember what your question was. What was my point?
I think I'm pretty sure. Covered your point. I'm somewhere in there, but the idea of looking at your chapters and having people understand of
that's right
who we are and what we are and we were at one time and we're continuing to be a nation of process. How does your chapters, particularly that first lesson, what does that do to change? What do you do there? Try to change the mindset of either kids or adults in understanding this, our nation.
Well, we have to have a balance. If all we do is tell our kids the negative on anything, even about a person or a situation in your community or whatever, if all we do is harp on the negative, what do you think we're going to get as kids, for kids, within our kids? You know, it's not going to be positive. So why not pull out the positive in American history as well? And then we can teach both and have a balance, more of a balance, give our kids the balance. You know, America has wonderful, great, awesome things about it as well. And the first chapter talks about, well, what is so great about America? That let's just ask our kids that, whether they're your grandkids or your own kids or someone else's kids, or even a young single adult, what is so great about America? And let's listen to what their answers are, because if it's negative or they have no idea of how to answer that, like, what do you mean, what's so great about America? Then we have a work to do, folks, and we should roll up our sleeves, because really the first thing that comes to mind about what's so great about America to me is we have liberty. And if you've never lived outside of this country, if you've never seen how other people live around the world, and sometimes that takes some time. I mean, you can't really understand a foreign country if you just go to their tourist section, right? Let's get in with the community. Let's see how are their schools? What kind of freedoms do they have? Can they speak out against their government freely, or do they live in fear of being incarcerated? And what are they learning in schools? Is it just about is it balanced, right? Mm-hmm. Are kids given a choice from which to believe, or are they just taught one way to believe and that's it? You know, you believe it, or, you know, my way, the highway kind of a thing. And so for me, what's so great about America? The answer should always be liberty, for one thing. But we don't understand in this country, been so spoiled rotten with liberty, that again, unless you've lived somewhere else that has bondage, has the opposite of liberty, where they have a government that does not protect liberty, but takes it away because they take away your rights, then that's the first chapter that I wrote. Well, it's not first chapter I wrote, but it is chapter one. And that is, what's the opposite of liberty? Let's talk about what living in an environment where you don't have liberty. What's that like?
Lydia, you mentioned that you said that word balanced. Do you believe that in reading our Constitution and reading these our founding documents, that our founders understood in these documents or trying to come to a conclusion of balance between liberty and justice, freedom or chaos in our system of government?
Well, that's what's cool about what I realized, and that I'm striving now to teach others in any way I can. And that is, let's talk about how we didn't used to be the United States of America. We used to belong to Britain, to the King of England. We had a king over us. Okay, what was that like? When you have a king who thinks that his responsibility is to rule and reign in whatever way he wants and to oppress a people who want to be free, and to keep them in check and under his control, under his power. If a person or a small group of people want power and control over you, then they have to take away your unalienable rights. And what are unalienable rights, right? Well, Declaration of Independence teaches life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. We should all have our life protected, our ability to have liberty to make our own choices, what's best for ourselves and our families, and the opportunity to pursue happiness, right? If we all have that, you're going to have a happy, prosperous country, and you don't need to rule them under a thumb, under a heavy hand. And yet people who want power do that. So the Constitution, so we fought a war, revolutionary war, so we could be independent from that monarchy, so that we could have our own country and figure out what kind of form of government do we want then that will preserve liberty and justice for everybody, so we can all pursue happiness, right? And then what, we want our freedom from Great Britain. Now what kind of government do we have? And we had the most amazing, incredible men and women give input on what that form of government looks like. And we had genius men who studied governments of others from history before them to see what worked and what didn't. And we have genius men who just were really good with understanding human nature. Because guess what? Human nature is we want to rule. We want to have power.
We want to rule. With the you mentioned that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Does one, Lydia, necessarily follow the other, or do each individual has a responsibility to pursue the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness themselves?
I think that could be answered in two ways. If we as individuals don't believe that everyone has the right to have their own life protected. Unless, of course, you know, there's always, and we can do that another show, but in general, everyone deserves to have their life protected. And you have to have your life protected. If I know my life is protected, now I have the liberty, I can exercise the liberty. I can't exercise liberty if I'm dead, right? But now if I have my life protected, I can exercise liberty to make my own choices. And everyone, we know we're happier when we have that liberty to make our own choices. We can pursue happiness according to what is happy for us, if we can have the liberty to choose. So that in a nutshell is what it is. And then if you have a bunch of people who believe that to make a community, then what a neat society that is. Yeah. And what if you had a nation who believed that? Whoa.
Lydia, we are up against time. So before we close, please tell our listeners where they're able to purchase your book of Forgotten American Stories.
Absolutely. You can find it on ForgottenAmericanStories.com. All one lowercaps.com, ForgottenAmericanStories.com.
And listeners, I can't recommend Lydia's book more. You just love it. Your kids will love it. It's great reading. So please get it. And you'll be greatly encouraged by the knowledge that's there. So Lydia, thank you. We're going to continue on our next program with your chapters as we continue to discuss these things. So yay. Lydia, thank you for coming and sharing with us today.
You're welcome.
This is WFYL 1180, Working for Your Liberty.